happy Sabbath. Our scripture reading will be taken from 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 24. 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 24, and I invite the congregation to please stand as we read God's word. First Corinthians 7, 20 through 24. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedom. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be back here in Middletown. I love this little church and the people in it. I believe the Lord has given us the message today, and I pray that he'll give me the grace to bring it to you. Shall we just bow our heads before we start? Father in heaven, I just invite you now to lift us to a place where you can be present with us, where you can comfort us, take our thoughts that are so earthly and dissolve them, that we might now let your thoughts come into our mind, refresh us, lift us, and encourage us. But we ask that you speak to us this morning. Your words will prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I entitled the sermon this morning, Piercing Love. And I looked up this word, piercing, or to be pierced, or pierced. There were a lot of definitions, but they pretty much come together. I'm going to share them with you. First one is to pass into or through as the pointed instrument does, like an awl. Number two, to affect sharply the senses or feelings. Number three, to make a hole in or through, to perforate. Number four, to make a hole as by boring or stabbing. Number five, to force a way into or through, a breakthrough. Number six, to sound sharply like a shriek which pierces the air. And the last, number seven, to puncture with a sight of mind. To penetrate. Piercing is to penetrate with a sharp object. You know, I listened to a very special message this past week by someone very dear to my heart. And it made an impact on me because a lot of things began to start rolling around in my mind. I knew that God was directing me through that message to share thoughts which he aroused in me as I listened to this message to share with you today. So I've plagiarized, yes, but some is God added to it. It was based on a story / prophecy in Exodus 21. Let's go there. You know, someone could make life a lot easier for me if they could grab those glasses sitting next to Donald. Or maybe even in my purse. Yes. Oh, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Now I can read better. Okay. Let's read verses 2 through 6 together. If you have your Bible, I hope you do. Verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, you know, first of all, let me say this. The Hebrews, if they came to a place in their life where they were destitute or desperate and had no way to go on, they could sell themselves into servitude, become a bondsman, a servant, a slave. And this is what this little story is about. If you bought a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he was married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. Have you ever seen an awl? It's not like a needle. And he shall serve him. How long? Forever. Interesting. This is from the Old Testament. A story? Could it be prophecy? A tale of what was to be? Perhaps even a snapshot of the gospel? Let's look at John. John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, these are in red, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is saying that he is shown in the Old Testament. You can find me there, right? As he's speaking to these people who have a hard time discerning this, who should discern it. They should very much know the scriptures. So the Old Testament scrolls, of course, were the only ones available to them at that time, right? They are they which testify of me. Let's go down to verse 46 and 7. For had you believed Moses, a writer of the Old Testament, right? Did they believe in Moses? Oh, they sure did. Moses led them for many years, right? Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, Jesus said. For he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Right? The Jewish leaders prided themselves on their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, didn't they? And their belief in Moses' writings. And this book in Exodus was compiled by whom? Moses, right? So Jesus himself was turning them back to the book of Moses. If you go back there, if you believe these stories, you would know of me. And this little story that we just read is one of those stories. Let's turn back to them. I believe there's some very important information here for us. Exodus 21, verse 2. Let's go back there and look at it as we share. When a Hebrew man, for some reason, could no longer make his own way, he could sell himself, he was committed to serve for 6 years. Committed. When he went and committed, he had to stay 6 years, right? A servitude for 6 years. Servitude being often referred to as slavery. And he couldn't serve more than 6 years. That was his commitment, 6 years. In the seventh year, he was free to go. If he came married, his wife could go out with him. But if he married a wife that belonged to the master and had children, then if he chose to go free, the women and the children could not go with him. He had to go alone and be free and leave his wife and children behind. Now, what does he say in verse 5? What does he say? If the servant shall plainly say, what? I love who? My master, my wife, and my children. And therefore, I will not go out free. He loves his master, his wife, his children. He's happy with them. But the law says he couldn't just stay with them. Verse 6 says, the master must bring him to the judges, to the door of the doorpost. This word judges in verse 6, which you look in the Strong's Concordance, it means Elohim. Have you ever heard that word before? Elohim? Do you know what it means? I'm sure Fred does. Phil, no? Well, in Genesis, it's in Genesis 1:1 where it says, in the beginning, God created the earth. Elohim, yeah, that's the word here. This word judges, when it says they shall bring him to the judges. Now, the law says he could not just stay. His master shall bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This was the law. The master must take him, though, to the judges. In verse 6, which is, in the Strong's Concordance, Elohim, which is God. Over 300 times in the Bible, that word means God. If this was approved, he then had to go home with his master to have his ears pierced with an awl. In the Messianic Psalm, we're reminded of our Savior's piercing, and it says, Psalm 22 is the Messianic Psalm. And let's just read one verse, verse 16. It says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Remember, this is a Messianic Psalm. They pierced my hands and my feet. If this was approved, the servant had to go home with his master to have his ears pierced with an awl. They pierced my hands and my feet. Does this sound familiar? Do we see any resemblance here to the experience of Jesus and what he did for us? Jesus chose to be scarred for life, eternal life. He chose to be his father's, our father's servant forever to keep us. He came to serve us. His scars are a symbol not of violence and what wicked men did to him, but they're a symbol forever of his love for us. His heart broke, his side was pierced, and out came blood and water. They pierced his hands and his feet. His scars are a symbol of his love, eternal love. He carries those scars in his body forever to always remind us of his great love for us. He chose us. It was his choice. And when did he do it? Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the earth. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Verse 27. Let's start with 26 through 28. How's that? But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Servant. If you want to be chief, you want to be the head, you want to be the minister, that's a leader, that's a servant. They're elected servants to serve the people. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let us go back to the story. The servant had opportunity to be set free. He chose to stay. Jesus chose to stay with us forever. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world, he what? Gave his only begotten Son. It's a gift forever. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians 2, you know this text very well. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all names. We're called to be what? Servants. We are called to be his servants, God's servants. He made himself of no reputation as a servant who sold himself to slavery. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He became a slave for those he loved and would not let go. He covenanted with his Father to bring us home and keep us forever. He became a bondservant. He paid our bond. He is our bondsman. He owed nothing. Jesus owed nothing. We had the debt. We owed everything, our very lives. But he stepped down, came to us to serve, to purchase us, with his own blood, even to the death of the cross. Crucified, crucified to the Jew meant a life erased. Did you know that? All history of crucified men were destroyed. All historical records gone. I had a man come in my store one day, and he had been in a seminary, and he was a student, and apparently he was raised Catholic, and he thought he was pretty smart, and he was smarter than me at the time. And he said to me, "Don't you know that there's not even any record of Jesus being born?" And I wasn't smart enough then to say, "But of course I know, because he was crucified. And if he knew what they did with those who were crucified, he wouldn't have known that was just another proof that he was for real." But you know, Jesus was pierced, his hands and feet. Why? For us. To keep us for his own, Jesus volunteered servitude to serve us here on earth. Love brought him here. Love kept him from sinning that we might have accomplished in us what his Father, our Father, did in him. How do I know that? Let's look at a few quick texts. 2 Corinthians 4. Won't take long. 2 Corinthians 4. 10 and 11. I love this text. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? Where? Where does it say? That the life of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what flesh? Mortal flesh. What flesh is that? It's this one, not the glorified one. Now, it needs to happen now. How do we know that? Romans 5:10. Let's look at that quickly. Beautiful text that tells us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. We were reconciled by the cross. But much more, because we have been reconciled, we shall be saved how? By his life. By his life that he lived justifies us, but it also sanctifies us because it has to be our life. Let's look at quickly Titus chapter 2. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I talk about this. Titus. Verse 2, chapter 2, sorry, and verse 12, teaching us, well, let me read 11 too. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many men? All men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? When? Now, in this present world. How much clearer could that be, right? God makes it so clear. Well, is that scary? Can we do that? No, it's impossible. But yet again, he says in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It's not sin that wants that should reign here. Christ came. Christ sold himself to us, bought us with a price. It cost heaven everything to save us who had nothing. And now we can have everything. We can become joint heirs with Jesus. How about that? How's that for an exchange? This is not a service of slavery. It's a service of love. Again, in Exodus 21, as a servant was taken before judges, so Jesus, remember when he appeared to Mary? What did he say to her? She went to touch him. Remember? What'd she say? Touch me not, no. I have not yet ascended to my Father. We're judged by Jesus, but his love offering had to be accepted by the Father to have us, and it was. Praise God. This story in Exodus 21 is the gospel. Can you see it? The Master is the Father. The Son is Jesus. The wife, the woman, is the church. Children, God's children. Joint heirs with Jesus. Do you believe it? I say this morning that God wants to pierce our hearts. With what? With his love. God's love needs to penetrate our lives. We're to be like him. Do you remember the story in John 14, the vine, and being grafted into the vine? It's also, do you remember Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28, where Jesus says that I will give you a new heart and a right spirit I put within you? That's a heart transplant. Know what happens when you get a heart transplant? They have to cut you open. They have to pierce you. What is the sword? What does Jesus call? How does he pierce us? It's with a two-edged sword, right? Yes, with his word. It's a two-edged sword. And it needs to penetrate. It needs to pierce our hearts. It needs to come to a place that we fall in love with our God through his word. And it'll change us. Jesus' last prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, what is it he's praying for? Father, I will that they also who you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given for me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Did Jesus, God, love us before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1 says he did, because he set up the plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. Now, why would he do that if he wasn't preserving us? O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, your character, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be where? In them, and I in them. This is a spiritual piercing that we need to have. It needs to be in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I share with you a couple of closing texts. Hebrews Hebrews 4, verse 12 speaks, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What does the two-edged sword do? It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's a pretty deep spear, don't you think? That's a pretty big jab. Have you been stabbed? In closing, I want to share with you this. I have always said, if anything happened to me and I couldn't have my books, I want to grab this page and run, because this page in Desire of Ages is one of the most beautiful of all her writings. But she says here, when the soul surrenders itself to Christ, a new power takes possession of the new heart. A change is wrought which man can never accomplish for himself. It is a supernatural work, bringing supernatural element into human nature. The soul that is yielded to Christ becomes his own fortress. When you yield yourself to Christ, he becomes the fortress. His own fortress, which he holds in a revolted world, and he intends that no authority shall be known in it but his own. A soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. What does that mean, that word, impregnable? Not able to be penetrated. That's what it means. And it means that the enemy cannot pierce us, because we've been pierced. We've been bought with a price. We've been sold. We have a bondsman. We have a master that we have come to love and committed to serve forever. You see, love calls for response. It just, true love springs forth spontaneously. It's not something we have to try to do or work up an appetite for. God wants us to come to him with hearts that are yearning and wanting to be his. A heart like that servant who said, "I love my master, I love my mate, I love my children. I want to stay forever." Jesus made that commitment for us. How can we turn him down? And what is the alternative? What are we hanging on to? Temporary fun for eternal joy? Is there something our Father in heaven keeps from us that's good? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Okay. I just hope, as we leave today, I'm going to read one more time this text in 1 Corinthians 7. And then we leave. But I want us to think about it as I read it. "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Are you called being a servant? Do not care about it. But if you may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's what? Free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You were bought with a price. Do not be the servants of men. May God help us to commit ourselves to Him in such a way that we cannot be moved. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name. Survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Since I, who was undone and lost, have pardoned through his name and word, forbid it then that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my Lord. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for that precious salvation laid so long ago between you and your Father, that you have brought to us, that he may be our Father also, that we might be returned to the home where we were meant to be, created to live in forever. Lord, I just ask you to pierce our hearts today, that we will commit to you, that you can raise us up and we can be your bondsmen and women, that this we can be workers for you, that this church will be raised up to give glory to you, because each one has allowed you to pierce their hearts, and that they can walk with you, talk with you, sing with you, and others will see that there's a light shining here brighter than they have seen in a long time, and that people will come through the doors and be touched because Jesus is here with us. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen.